Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
This episode is a pause to ponder segment. These bi-weekly sessions will allow me to share with you my personal thoughts and reflections on a wide spectrum of topics as they relate to education. It is my hope that you will be able to take something from these segments and apply it in a meaningful way as you continue to do amazing work. Remember, while we all have different roles, we all have a single job: educating our students.
If you pay any attention to some of my social media posts, one of the things that I posted this week was this idea that within this last week, I've been in three different cities with about seven different sessions, two in Vegas, two in Chicago, and three in Kansas City. In fact, I'm sitting in Kansas City right now, preparing for my sessions tomorrow afternoon. But the piece that I really haven't talked about, and this will be the first time I'm sharing this part out loud, is what occurred on Monday evening as we returned home to Chicago from Las Vegas. You see, our flight was supposed to land around midnight, but because of some delays, we ended up getting pushed back, and we ended up landing at about 1:30 or so in the morning. Annoying, but it is what it is. However, when we landed and we went to our baggage claim, our bags were not there. And I don't just mean my bags, my wife's bags, our bags. I mean the bags from our flight. So we waited and we waited, and we were told that they were being unloaded, and we waited and we waited, and in the process, more and more flights landed and more bags were delivered, but ours were not. Eventually, a batch was delivered. Our bags were not part of that batch. And then a little while later, a second batch arrived, and our bags were fortunately located in that one. An hour and a half, an extra 90 minutes, we waited for our bags. I did not walk out of the airport until after 3 o'clock in the morning. During this time, of course, everyone is standing around and fussing and complaining, and they're frustrated. And I end up having a conversation with a man who has been making a number of phone calls. And come to find out, the reason that our bags were not waiting for us when we arrived at our baggage claim was because that the individuals responsible for taking the luggage off of the plane had left and went home. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, because I had the same initial response. What do you mean they left? They had a job to do. Why were they not here to do their job? But once the emotions waned and I was able to reflect on the situation with a clear mind, I had the understanding that they left because their shift was over. The plane being delayed had nothing to do with them, and therefore they did not feel obligated to wait around to accommodate a mess that they did not create. Now, I know, again, there are some of us listening to this and saying, well, that's just wrong. That is what we do when we are hired to do a job. Sometimes we must go above and beyond. And it's interesting because on my way home, I was having this conversation with my wife and she said, well, what do you think it is? Do you think it's a shortage of employees? And I said, hun, this is not a shortage of employees. Right? It's not like the blip happened. Thanos didn't snap his finger. People didn't just fall off the face of this planet. What we're seeing are the results of a shift in attitude, a reorganization of priorities. You know, we often make fun of the younger generation. You know, my wife and I have mentioned this before. We have our five girls, the youngest being 19, and we make fun of some of the decisions they make. We criticize them for the apparent laziness or the lack of investment that they have. Well, today during our back to school trainings, one of the sessions that I attended was hosted by the Office of Social Emotional Learning. And they shared something with me that I had not heard of before. That the Surgeon General has recently released a workplace mental health and well-being framework. That's right, a framework around mental health and well-being in the workplace released by the Surgeon General. You know, the person that we listen to for all this other medical advice around smoking and cancer and all of the other things has come forth and said, listen, things within our workplace are not okay. In fact, a recent survey suggested that 76% of current U.S. workers reported at least one symptom of a mental health condition. And of the respondents of the survey, 84% said that their workplace conditions had contributed to at least one mental health challenge. In fact, as a result of this, more than 80% of workers reported that from now on, they're going to begin looking for places that support mental health as they look for new jobs. There's not a shortage of workers. What it is I believe that this new generation has figured something out that has become part of the toxic positivity of our generation. It's this idea that we must sacrifice ourselves for our jobs and for our careers. You see, we don't work to live. We live to work. We take pride in this. We gloat about how many hours we're putting in. We walk around and we constantly talk about how busy we are, the sacrifices that we make in order to provide for our families. And yet in reality, more often than not, it is our very family that we are sacrificing. It is our health, it is our well-being that we are sacrificing. So I wanted to share with you quickly. I'll admit I haven't done a deep dive into this framework. Maybe that'll be a future episode. I'm sure at some point these things are going to make their way into a future session of mine. But I just wanted to provide you very, very quickly the five domains and the 10 subdomains that exist with this. So the first piece of this is protection from harm. that employees deserve a reasonable expectation and level of safety and security. And that doesn't just mean physical. It doesn't mean just physiological. It means psychological. That I should be able to go to work and not have to worry about things. I shouldn't have to sit there and stress. That I shouldn't have to worry about discrimination and harassment. My job should be secure. That I shouldn't worry about, am I going to have a job? The next one falls under connection and community. And the two subdomains here are social support and belonging. It's this idea that when I'm at work, that when I'm in my spaces, do I have opportunities to build relationships and teamwork with other individuals? Am I working in collaboration? Am I able to have that absolute necessary human connection while I'm at work, a positive human connection? Or am I being put into these silos and working alone and not involved or incorporated into the decisions and the processes of the things that are happening? The next one is work-life harmony. It's this idea, and we've talked about balance before on this, and I've heard individuals say it's not really balanced because it's never going to always balance out, that it's this constantly fluctuating back and forth. But what we need to do is we need to be aware of this work-life harmony. And the two subdomains here are autonomy and flexibility. Do we have any sort of control over when and where and how we do our work? The pandemic showed us that the traditional structures of the 9-to-5, of driving into an office building, of sitting inside of a cubicle, these traditional ways of doing work are absolutely not necessary. And yet so many spaces still force that because it is a way of control. It is a way of manipulation. Personally, I'm an early bird. If I worked in a space, and I get it sometimes, especially within our schools, this isn't always true, but there are opportunities and options. And again, that's a whole nother conversation. You see, I'm an early bird. If I had the opportunity of getting into work bright and early, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, knocking things out so I could be home by the early afternoon, that would be my choice. And I'd have the rest of the day. Those are the times that I'm most productive. Heck, why do we even need to have certain hours, and why can't it just be tasks? These are the goals. These are the objectives that we've set. And once we complete those, whether it's within 5 days, whether it's within two, my tasks for this time frame are done. The next concept is mattering at work. And the two subdomains here are dignity and meaning. When I show up to work, am I being respected? Am I being valued? Does the work that I do have some type of purpose? Does it go up beyond just my immediate life? Is it connected to something larger? The next one here, the final section, is opportunity for growth. And the two subdomains here are learning and accomplishment. Are there opportunities for me to receive ongoing training and education and mentoring so that way I can continue to grow? Are there very clear pathways for career advancement, or do I simply look and say, this is as far as I go? Is somebody providing that feedback? Is somebody guiding us along the way, nurturing us into these new positions? So that way we can constantly move up and grow and find that meaning at work. I don't know about you, but the more that I think about this, the more I think about those individuals who walked away from that baggage claim and said, it is not my responsibility, right? We've heard that phrase, a failure on your part, a failure to plan on your part does not constitute an emergency to respond on mine. At what point are we going to stand up and say that our well-being, the well-being of those in our care, are more important? Because when we do that collectively, when we start to make these shifts, when we challenge those toxic positivities that our grandparents and parents and the generations before us adopted, and those things that we praise and that we judge these younger generations against, maybe some things will change. Because who knows? Just maybe. Instead of criticizing, instead of ridiculing, instead of making fun of this new generation, maybe there's something to learn. Until next time.
I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.